Today's shiur is Masechta Shavuos, Daf Chaf Dalet, and we will begin on Daf Chaf Dalet Amud Aleph, the second line. The Mishnah taught us that if somebody had made a shvuah that he won't eat nevelos or treifos, he's chayiv. And our Gemara at the end of our previous shiur had offered both the explanation of Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, how could such a shvuah be valid? We're not allowed to eat nevelos or treifos. So we're mushba v'oimid that we may not eat those foods. And since we're mushba v'oimid that we may not eat those foods, the obvious question immediately comes up is why and how is that shvuah valid? Rabbi Yochanan said the reason it's valid is because he made a shvuah not only about the nevelos or treifos, but he made a shvuah about other items on which a shvuah, which you may eat. And he made a shvuah that he's not going to eat those items. So as we explained in our previous year, that's called a nisa koilel. He included foods that he may eat, for which the shvuah is valid, together with shvuah of foods that he may not eat, and that's why it's valid. The Rish Lakish gave a different interpretation. The Rish Lakish says that he made a shvuah that he's going to eat less than what the Torah says you may not eat. He made a shvuah he's going to eat less than a kazayis. What halacha is that if somebody makes a shvuah that the rice you only not allowed to eat a kazayis, his shvuah was for more than a kazayis, and since his shvuah was for more than less than a kazayis, that's why it's a valid shvuah. That is the way the Gemara interpreted these two cases. It says the Gemara Bishlam Rish Lakish. So according to Rish Lakish, who we just said, explained, because he made a shvuah on less than a kazayis, b'shemachi, that's why we find in the Mishnah, that Shimon's opinion is that this shvuah won't be valid. The Tanya of Shimon, because of Shimon's opinion is that there is no sheer limitation for eating something you're not allowed to eat. He says that kol shehu, even if you just ate a koshu, you're going to be chayiv malchus. So therefore, by making the shvuah and having the shvuah be on less than the shear, you haven't accomplished anything. V'layamru, and Rav Shimon says that when we always speak about a kazayis, v'layamru kazayis, when we always speak about a kazayis, it's only regarding the halacha of carbon, that a carbon is not brought unless you ate a kazayis. El Rabbi Yochanan, according to Rabbi Yochanan, who we just explained, the reason the shvuah not to eat nevelos is a valid shvuah because he expressed the shvuah bekoilel things that the shvuah would be effective on, together with things that the shvuah is not effective on. So my tamid of Shimon the potter, why does Shimon say that this is not a valid shvuah? Says the Gemara, midu tama. So as we've been explaining, says the Gemara, what is the basis of Rabbi Shimon? What is the basis of Rabbi Yochanan's interpretation? El Mishum is a koilu, because as we said, you include foods that you're allowed to eat together with foods that you're not allowed to eat. It says the Gemara, Rav Shimon Tameh, Rav Shimon is following his opinion elsewhere in Sheas, the Lesle is a koilu, he doesn't hold that that's an acceptable reason for the Shvuah to be valid. The Tanya, Rav Shimon says, Rav Shimon Oimer, Hoich Nevela B'Yom Kippurim, if somebody eats Nevela Yom Kippur, the halacha will be that he's potter from a karma chattis. Because since before Yom Kippur, he was not allowed to eat the nevela. So when Yom Kippur comes, the issa of eating Yom Kippur cannot be valid on that meat. It's already also before. That's why you won't get malchus for that. And the way to understand this is further. Even though this is a case of issa koilel, why is this a situation of issa koilel? Because you're including in your shvuah not just the food that's also the treifa food in the velus, but also included here a kosher food that normally may be eaten, but because it's Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to eat it. But Rav Shimon does not subscribe to the concept of issa koilel. Rav Saul Salanter speaks about a time that in the city that he was living, there was a terrible pandemic, and people were in great danger. And as Yom Kippur approached, the issue came up about eating on Yom Kippur. So of course the halacha teaches us that if one unfortunately must eat on Yom Kippur, it was not, you should eat pachos mashir, because eat less than a shear at a time and then wait. But that wasn't an option in that situation. And the people were very upset. Here we had an entire city that was going to have to eat on Yom Kippur. So Erev Yom Kippur, Rav Yisrael Salanta made the following announcement. Somebody before Yom Kippur should be made that from the beginning of Yom Kippur on till the end of Yom Kippur, everybody should make a shvua that they're not going to eat a shear of whatever food they were going to eat on Yom Kippur. That way, he'll have less of a problem of the isser of eating on Yom Kippur. And it goes with what we're learning in our sugya. But the way to look at this is Rav Yisrael Salanter quotes the Rambam in Hilchos Asuri Bia, Perek Zayin Halacha Ches. The Rambam says, Klal Gol B'Kol Asurim Shebetorah, there's a rule, Shein Esachal Al Isser. That means, if something is already Asur, and now because of new circumstances, this food becomes more Asur, the second Isser cannot be effective because Ein Esachal Al Isser. So we also know, the halach is, as we've been discussing in our shir, that Chatzi Shir Asim in the Torah, as Rabbi Yochanan teaches us in Masechta Yuma, Daf Ayin Dalam and Aleph, that even if the shear is a kazayis, chatzis shear asim in the Torah. And Rabbi Yochanan over there explains the reason why, because it's the rufi. Even though I'm eating only chatzis shear, but that could combine to the whole shear. And the explanation is because chatzis shear always could combine to be a whole shear. And therefore, since it has the potential of becoming part of a chatzis shear, that's of a whole shear, that's why the Torah said it's usher. Says Rabbi Yisrael Salanta, say a shvua that you won't eat a whole shear. Say, make that shvua that you won't eat that amount of food from the beginning of Yom Kippur till the end. What will that accomplish? That this shvua that prohibits you from eating the food, we're talking about perfectly kosher food, obviously, is usher to you already before Yom Kippur. And as we just said, if you have the nevel of food, Rav Shimon just taught us, is not usher because of Yom Kippur. Why is the nevel of food not usher because of Yom Kippur? Because the nevel of food is already usher from before, and we have the concept of Ein Esachal Al Esser. So now, when you'll eat the chatzis shir on Yom Kippur, said Rav Yisrael Salanter, you won't be doing anything wrong at all. Because you're not eating because of the shvua. And the shvua was specifically that you're not going to eat a full shir. So now let's think about it. The Yom Kippur consideration is not a consideration, because this food is also because of Yom Kippur. What is the consideration? Because there's an issa shvua on this food, but this shvua on this food is only on a full shear. And therefore he said, if you'll eat a chatzi shear of this food, it'll be a situation that not only are you not eating the shear shalom, but even the chatzi shear, which as we're learning now is normally, Rabbi Yochanan says, asur min ha-Torah, chatzi shear is only asur min ha-Torah when it's asur because the Torah said it's asur. But when it's asur because you made it into asur, then the halacha is that it's not considered asur until you have the whole shear. And the chatzis shear, we don't have the Yom Kippur issue because you have the shvua. We don't have the Yom Kippur issue because of the shvua, and we don't have the chatzis shear issur because the shear is a shear shalom. There are those that disagree with Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, for they say that in such a case, a very big chiddush, they say that indeed, if somebody would eat a shear shalom of the food on which he made the shvua, he would be over the aveira of shvua and not the aveira of Yom Kippur. But on the chatzis shear, which may not be eaten on Yom Kippur only in certain circumstances, there was never a shvua.
Since on the Chatzi Shear there was never a Shvua, we now have a circumstance that the Chatzi Shear of that food is Asur because of Yom Kippur. And the whole Shear of that food is Asur because of the Shvua, and the Isser of Yom Kippur did not nullify that Shear, that Isser of Chatzi Shear on Yom Kippur. The halacha is that when somebody makes a Shvua, the only type of Shvua that is a valid shvua, as we're going to learn in our masecht, in our shurim, is when we speak about a shvua spitui, the Torah Kedosh uses the words lahara lahaitiv, and from there we learn that the shvua has to be, it could only be considered a valid shvua if it's a shvua that could be behena balav, where it's a shvua, this item could be said, I will do it, and the shvua could be said in a way that I won't do it. But a shvua that cannot be expressed in that way is not a shvu for which there is a chiv carbon oil of yod. So now the Gemara goes on. Bishlam according to Rish Lakish, who says that we're talking about that he made a shvu that he's not going to, that the case of our Mishnah with the Nevela is that he made a shvu that he's not going to eat a chatzi shir, mishkach slab alav behein. So that's the kind of shvu that could be expressed in both fashion. If he says that I'm not going to eat a chatz, if he makes a shvua, he's not going to eat a chatz shir of nevela. It's certainly a valid shir, a shvua. And if he makes a shvua, I'm going to eat a chatz shir, since the chatz shir, according to Rish Lakish, is not usur, it's a valid shir. Ella, Rabbi Yochanan, according to Rabbi Yochanan, will explain that the reason the shvua of our Mishnah is a valid shvua, because it was expressed b'kailal, things that you may eat together with things that you may not eat. But what Rabbi Yochanan is speaking about is a full shir. Bishlam alav mishkach slo. We could understand the shvua. He made a shvua. I won't eat nevela, and it's chal. It's effective because he did it. He expressed it b'kodel. Elahein. How could somebody make a shvua that I'm going to eat nevela v'treifa? He's mushver v'oymed mahar Sinai that he may not eat treifa. Says the Gemara. Because of this question, the Gemara sort of retracts from everything we learned. Because as we learned in our previous year, the Gemara asked the question, how could somebody make a shvua that he won't eat nevela, and then he eats it, it'll be chayiv, that the halacha is, didn't we say, that if somebody makes a shvua that he's not going to eat, and then he eats food that is not edible, offer, because then the shvua is not a valid shvua. Similarly, we said, the Gemara said, that if somebody makes a shvua he's not going to eat, and then he eats nevela, nevela will not be considered that he violated a shvua. And the Gemara answered that it's speaking about a case, indeed, that he expressly said that he's not going to eat nevela. But had he not said that expressly, then nevela is not part of what he's meant in the shvua, it's like offer, says the Gemara. Ella, and therefore, and now the Gemara changes it. And he says that the Reish and the Sefer is a person said that I'm not going to eat. He didn't say nevela. And when the Reish said that if somebody made a shvua that he's not going to eat, and he ate ochel and she'en ruin his potter, is not talking about nevela. Indeed, if he would eat offer, he would be potter. But if he ate nevela, he would be chayiv. As Rava taught us, Dama Rava teaches us, if somebody says shvua shloichel, makes a shvua that he won't eat, vachel offer, and he ate offer, he won't be chayiv. And the reason is, because when this person made a shvua that he's not going to eat, since offer is totally not edible, he certainly didn't have a mind when he made that shvua that he's speaking about offer. And therefore, when he eats the offer, it's not considered a violation of a shvua. Nevela is perfectly good meat. The Torah tells us we're not allowed to eat that meat. And therefore, if somebody just made a general shvua that he's not going to eat, nevela, even though it's meat that we may not eat, it's not kosher meat, says the shvua is valid. The Rish Lakish is going to say, if you said it on a pachs mikashir, then it's going to be chal. And Rabbi Yechon is going to say that the shvua is always going to be chal on nevela, because
anything that's edible, even though it's not something I'm allowed to eat, it's not kosher, but since the way the shvua was articulated was by saying shvua shloi oichel, then the halacha is that that shvua will be on the veil as well. That something which is edible, even though it's not kosher, is considered an oichel, because the Mishnah said, if somebody says, I can't have any benefit, my wife may not have any benefit from me today, any benefit from me, the loch is, I did not rule achila, so why should it be considered that I ate? For me, we see, eating nevela, even though of course it's prohibited, is not considered not eating. Says the Mara, the raya is not a good raya. V'chachi hashta. Hasam, kima de mikara ochel. When the person ate nevelas, harei shtabelei, and then he made the nether, so the moment, and he connected the nether to his eating, so he knew that I ate, and he knew that the repercussion of eating, and now saying what he's saying, is make his wife usher to him, and therefore the nevelas is considered eating. Chshuvei machshvei. He clearly meant to say that the nevela should be considered eating. But if somebody just makes a shvur that I'm not going to eat, and we're learning now that the offer is not considered in that shvur, because offer is not what I had in mind, because offer is totally not edible. Same thing nevela. I did not in any way show that nevela is significant to me. Mi achshvei. Therefore, could be that nevela should be treated like offer. So as we have been learning, there's a halacha of Enes Achal Alissa. But as much as we've been learning that there's a halacha of Enes Achal Alissa, there are cases where we do say Issachal Alissa. And they really fall into two categories. One is Issa Moisif, and one is Issa Koil. So the example of Issa Moisif, if somebody has Chalev of kachim. So chalev may not be eaten. It's not kosher. But chalev, even though it may not be eaten, it can be burnt on the mizbeach. In fact, it should be burnt on the mizbeach. But when this carbon becomes nicer, so now this piece of chalev became also to the mizbeach. And since it now also became also to the mizbeach, we say issachal al isser. And it's also the second Isser of Nicer falls on it for even a person who wasn't allowed to eat, Chalev before. The other example, that's called Issa Moisif. And the other example, as we've been learning, is Issa Koilel. The best example when we speak about Issa Koilel, as we have been saying, is regarding Yom Kippur. We have food that's not kosher. The food that's not kosher was already not kosher from before Yom Kippur, it was Osir. But now, when Yom Kippur comes, that food now becomes Osir because of, all food becomes Osir because of Yom Kippur. Since all food now becomes Osir of Yom Kippur, so even the food that was already Osir from before, now gets this new Isir, because it's a Kailul, it's included with all the other food that it's a kailu that's included with the food that is now usher extends to the food that wasn't to the food that wasn't that was already usher to before. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava, my tama the man isla is a kailu. What's the reasoning for somebody who says that by is a kailu we say is a chal eser? Says the Gemara, me the have is a moisif. Just like we explained that since the second Isser extends, and therefore we say Issachal Isser, the same thing will be by both Issa Moisif and Issa Koil. Or Mandalesle, and the Mandam that says it doesn't work, says the Gemara, the Chi Ome Issa Moisif, B'choda Chaticha. When we speak about the Issa Moisif, so we spoke about that piece of Chalev. And when we spoke about that piece of Chalev, was already usher from before, was also for us from before, and now it got extended that it's usher to everybody. That it's also to the mizbeach as well.
So we're speaking about the actual piece of meat. When we're speaking about the actual piece of meat, it makes sense to say Issachar al Issar. But when we speak about Issar Moisif, we're not speaking about that same piece of meat. We're speaking about other pieces, other foods. And we're saying because those other foods are Osir, so this food should be Osir as well. But the connection is a much weaker connection. It's much more powerful to say Issar Moisif, to say Issachar al Issar in a situation of Issar Moisif versus saying Issachar al Issar in a case of Issar Koilel. And the reason is, because by Issar Moisif, we're speaking about the very same piece of meat that we're trying to understand, will we say Issachar al Issar, will we not say Issachar al Issar. But when we're talking about Issar Koilel, the other pieces, the other foods, have no connection to the food that we're talking about. And therefore, he says that even though we say Issachar al Issar by Issar Moisif, we won't say it by Issar Koilel. Vomarova. Lamanda Isle Issar Koilel. According to the Mandama that does hold, we say Issachar al Issar by an Issar Koilel. Om Shvur Shloichotainim. If somebody made a Shvur that he's not going to eat figs. Then he made another shvua that he's not going to eat figs and grapes. So this is a perfect example of Issar Moisif. And we say, since the second shvua is a perfectly fine shvua as far as the grapes, says the Gemara Peshitta. If we're going to say Issar Koilel, isn't this a perfect example of Issar Koilel? What are you trying to say here? Answers the Gemara, Ma the Tema. Where do we maybe say Issar Koilel? But Issar Habar Me'elav Askinan. Yom Kippur is a case of Issar Koilel, that all foods become usher to me within by themselves because of Yom Kippur. But here it became usher because I made it usher. Matatema, where do we say the concept of Issachar al Issar by an Issar Koilel? Only by something that it wasn't I who made it usher. It became usher by itself, like Yom Kippur. However, here, where it became usher because I said something, this Abba Ma'atzmai, in such a case, even if we normally hold of the concept of Issar Koilel, we won't say it here, Kamashmalan, that this is not a correct way of differentiating. And if we hold of the concept of this, if we hold of the concept of Issar Koilel, then we hold of it no matter how the Issar was created. Masav Rabba Bered Rabba, the Mishnah teaches us from Sechta Krisa stuff, Yud Gimel Amud Beis. Teaches us the Mishnah, Yesh Oichal Achila Achas, you could have a situation where somebody made a Shvua, they eat one act of eating, V'chayv Elo Chaber Chatos, and you can be chayv four Chatos for Asher Mechit for that eating. Ve'elahein, what is the case? Tamei Shachar Chelev, Tamei person who ate Chelev, who noisim in a Mekdoshim, B'yom Kippurim. So let's analyze this. He's going to be Chayev for Chelev, he's going to be Chayev for Noiser, he's going to be Chayev for Yom Kippur, and he's going to be Chayev for, because he's a Tamei that ate something for which is Kachim, and as we learned, the Tamei who eats something which is Kaidish is Chayev a carbon chattis. And he's also going to be chayiv a carbon asham because a meal of a hegdish. He had benefit from this meat, which is hegdish. Now, these all a situation, says the Gemara, that we are able to say, we don't say ein eschal alissa, we actually say that they is chal. And the reason is because it's either a situation of issa koilel or issa moisif. And the way to understand it is as follows. The moment the animal is born, the chelev of that animal becomes usur. Now, when you're magdish that animal, so there's me'ila on the whole animal, not just on the chelev. So now we have an issa koilel that since the rest of the animal became usur because it's hegdish, it also affects the chelev. When it became nicer, since the chelev now became osur to the mizbeach,
which till now, as we said earlier in our shir, the chela was allowed to be brought on the Mizbeach. But now that it became noiser, it became also to be put on the Mizbeach. So we explained before that that's an example of Isser Moisev. When the person became Tamei, so now he becomes also to eat any kachim that are Tamei. So this animal, this chalev, is included with all those other kabbanis that are Tamei, and that's a case of Isser Koilel. Now when Yom Kippur comes, so when Yom Kippur comes, as we keep on repeating in our shir, he's not allowed to eat anything. That extends to the chalev as well. And that's another example of a Nisa Koil. Rameya extends and says, Im Afim Hoysa Shabbos, that if this were to take place on Shabbos, Vaitzia, and he carried this chalev in his mouth, walking out from Shusha Yochid to Shusha Rabim, Chayiv, he's going to be Chayiv for carrying on Shabbos. Amaloi, so the Chum say to Rameya, Einam in Hashem, that you're right, technically you're right, that this is going to be a situation where he should be chayiv, but it's a whole different track. And since it's a whole different track, therefore it doesn't belong in that of Isser, it's a Hilchos Shabbos track, it doesn't belong in that Mishnah. Why does Rameya disagree? So I saw that Tosfos explains, because Rameya says, we know the first Mishnah, Masechta Shabbos, teaches us that one is not considered to have been carrying unless he has a kira and anocha. When does the anocha take place here? The anocha takes place here when the food comes to rest in the stomach, which is part of the eating process, and therefore Rameya says it belongs in that Mishnah. But says the Gemara, Vim Esau, if Rav is correct, that we say Issa Koilel when it's even a man-made Isser, Meshkach Leis Chomish Chattis, we could have another one, we'll have a case, a Shvush Loichel Tamarim V'Chelev, and since it's going to be an Issa Koilel, so since it's the Shvua makes the Tamarim, the Figs Osser, the Chayel Nami Achelev, because it's an Issa Koilel. The fact that the Mishnah did not include this case, include that case is clearly an indication that when it's a man-made Isser, again, the example of a man-made Isser is an Isser that's made through a shvua, then it's not, we don't say Isser Koil. But the Rishonim ask a question. We said earlier in our shir, and we're going to speak about this halacha often, that a shvua is only considered a valid shvua if it can be expressed in the hain and lav, positive and negative. Nobody can make a shvua that I'm going to eat chalev. So if nobody can make a shvua that I'm going to eat chalev, so why is this considered a valid shvua? So some Rishonim explain that two answers. One answer they say is indeed, if somebody will make a shvua, I'm going to eat chalev, I'm not going to eat chalev, it's not a valid shvua. Because it's not a shvur that could be said the other way around. You cannot make a shvur that you're going to eat chalev. The shvur that we're speaking about here, that we're calling it an Issa Koilel shvur, is a shvur that you said, I'm not going to eat anything. Not eat anything includes chalev, but it wasn't said expressly that I'm not eating chalev, that the other way would be I'm going to eat chalev, and that's why that wouldn't be considered an issue. That's one pshat. Another pshat that the Rishonim suggest is that since there is chalev that is mutter to be eaten, chalev al gabakeva, so therefore it is a shvur that could be expressed both in the hain and the lav. The lav is I'm not going to eat this chalev, and the hain is that I eat the chalev. Says the Gemara, kiktani is abam elev. Says the Gemara, that it's not a proof. Because Kitani, the Mishnah that's speaking about there, is speaking about Issa Ba Ma'atzma Loik Tani. We're not talking about anything that came by man-made Isser. Asma very Hegdish. Hegdish is a man-made Isser. We're Magda something. Says the Gemara, speaking about Bechor, the Kedusha Merechem. The Kedar is not, Bechor is not a man-made Isser. It becomes a Bechor the moment it's born. Iba Yisema, another Teretz, Kitani the Midi Delesle Shela. Something that can't be annulled. Av shvua, but all these asurim are asurim that are not, you can't undo. Av shvua this leshela. Shvua is a kind of an isur that can be undone, like tani. Ask the Gemara, but hegdish is technically an isur that could be undone, because you could be shoyl, you could annul that nether, that hegdish. So the Gemara, we just said, it's b'chor. Hegdish that I make hegdish, we could undo. But you can't undo a hegdish that is min hashamayim, like b'chor. Ibai Seima, another reason suggests the Gemara why Shvua wasn't mentioned there. Says the Gemara, the kik tani, the Mishnah over there is speaking about all the various carbonates you're going to bring, is all speaking about carbon kavua, carbon chattas. Carbon oil of a yairid, but we know for violating a shvua, the chiyav is a carbon oil of a yairid. And that's not the type of shvua that's being referenced in that Mishnah. Ask the Gemara, but very tamish achol kodesh. One of the cases in that Mishnah was a tamay that ate kodesh. And we started our masechta learning that when the tamay eats kodesh b'shogig, the carbon is a carbon oil of a yairid. But you're now saying, asked the Gemara, that any aveira which carries a carbon oil of a yairid carbon is not mentioned. And says the Gemara, it's talking about that the Nasi, the Melech, was the one that did this aveira, that ate tamay when he was tamay, ate kachim. And Rabbi Lezer, and a fouls the opinion of Rabbi Lezer that says in Masech Tahari, Stavyur Amr Aleph, that a Nasi, if a Nasi does, whose tummy ate kodesh, maybe so he has to bring a regular carbon chattas. The halacha is of carbon oil of yairid is only by yisrael. But we know that a nasi, when it comes to regular carbon chattas, is treated differently than a yisrael. A yisrael, if he does an aveira, for example, he eats chalev, the carbon chattas animal that he brings is a seira or a kispa. Whereas if a nasi does such an aveira, he brings a sar. And says Rebbe Lezer there in the Gemara, only an individual who by all other situations brings a kisp of a saira, by certain aveiras the Torah says he brings a carbon oil of a yairid. But the nasi whose carbon chattas is different than a regular person's carbon chattas doesn't bring a carbon oil of a yairid. Vashi, I'm a different way of understanding why the example of Shvua, if Issa Kailu is mentioned, and Issa Kailu even in a Shvua is mentioned, is a case that you would be chai of a carbon, we would say Issa Chalal Isser. Why wasn't that example given that he gave, made a Shvua, Shalai Oichel Tamar and Bechelim? So the Marki Tani made the Chayel Kishir. Mishnah is only speaking about cases that it's only on a kazayis. But shvua, the chayla pox mekshir, but shvua, as we learned, that it's valid even by less than a kazayis, as we've been discussing in our shurim, like tani. So it's not very hegdish. There's no shear of kazayis by hegdish. So we see that that can't be the defining situation. So the Gemara, indeed, when we speak about mi'ila behegdish, it doesn't have to have a shear kazayis. But it has to have some shear. It has to be worth a pruta. By shvua, you can make a shvua, as we learned, without any shear, not in size, nor value. Ravashi Maveria, Amar Abzeira, Kik Tani, the Mishnah over there is only speaking about Averis, that is a doina, if you did the Averis, b'mezid yichayiv karis. But if you did an Averis, b'mezodin, b'mezid, it's only that you considered having violated a lav, like Tani. It's not mentioned. Ask the Gemara, but Asham Ilis, if somebody does Mila Behegdish, Bemezid, the Zayin Belav, it's a lav, there's no chorus, and it's mentioned. And you're saying that those kind of cases are not mentioned? Says the Gemara, Bechatis Kaminin. What we meant to say is that the Veiris for which, if you do it Beshoigig, you get a Chatis, then Bemezid, you get chorus. But when we speak about Shvua, you don't bring a chattis, a mila, you bring an osham. So the Mishnah over there mentions osham because it's a carbon that you chayiv, even though there's no karis b'mezit. But the chatas, we want to have all the carbon chatas are the same. The way I understand the Gemara's teretz is the carbon oil of a yorid is a form of a chatas. It just has this special nuance that it's a carbon oil of a yorid. If we're going to speak about averus for which there is a carbon chatas, it has to be an averus that the carbon is chatas and mezid is karis. And that isn't the case by shvuah. And therefore, since that isn't the case by shvuah, it's not grouped together. But mila is not a chatas altogether. So even though by mila there's no karis either, but mila is totally separate because mila is an asham, not a chatas. Ravina Amma, titan midi dechal midi debarachilu. The Mishnah over there is speaking about food that are edible. Shvu de chayla mid de la ba'achilu, but a shvu is not limited to things that are eaten like tani. But ask the Gemara, and therefore we're talking about food items and isurim that only apply to food items. Ask the Gemara v'chei hegdish the chal nami etz avonim. Hegdish is chal on etz avonim, non edible. Says so he has to sort of amend. We're only talking about things that are tangible. But as we know, shvuah, the chayla amida de lespe mishasha, shvuah could even be effective at something which is non-tangible. For example, if somebody says, kagoyin ishan or lo ishan, he makes a shvuah, he's going to sleep, he's not going to sleep, that's a whole different category of an avera, and that category of avera is lo tani. So we've been learning in our Gemara, that if somebody makes a shvuah that he's not going to eat, and then he eats offer, he's not considered that he violated the shvuah because it's inedible. And the way we explained earlier in our shir, it means because the person when he made the shvuah did not have in mind offer, because offer is not a food. The Mishnah on Daf Chav Beis on the Beis says if somebody swears not to eat, and he eats something which is not fit, he's not over. But what happens if somebody makes a shvuah that he will eat, and then he eats offer, it's considered that he fulfilled his shvuah. So ask the Rimigash, why in the case where he made a shvuah that I'm not going to eat, and I eat offer, it's not considered as if I violated the shvuah? And why in a case where I made a shvuah that I'm going to eat, and I eat offer, it's considered it's considered that I fulfilled my shvuah. Answers the Rimigash that we assume that somebody doesn't want to violate a shvuah. If somebody made a shvuah, he doesn't want to violate the shvuah. So somebody made a shvuah he's not going to eat, and then he eats offer. That doesn't mean that he meant to violate a shvuah. The reason he ate offer is because he doesn't consider offer, as we keep on saying in our shir, as food. However, if somebody made a shvuah that he's going to eat, and the only thing he ate was offer, why would a person eat offer? It must be that he wants to fulfill a shvuah. Because as the Rimigash explains, we always assume that a person wants to do the right thing, not the wrong thing. So if somebody made a shvuah not to eat, and he ate offer, the reason he felt okay doing what he did, because he doesn't consider offer food. If he doesn't consider offer food, he didn't violate a shvuah. On the other hand, if he ate offer, and he didn't eat anything else, we say he was anxious to be able to fulfill a shvuah, and he had nothing else, presumably, to eat, so he fulfilled the shvuah by eating offer. The Rosh explains that, indeed, as we've been learning, eating something like offer is not considered an act of eating. But we also learned in our shiur today, he says, the concept of achshavei. What does the concept of achshavei accomplish? He says the concept of achshavei accomplishes that even though it's something that is not edible, that was the case that we said where somebody ate and then made the shvuah regarding his wife, my eating it shows that this is to me something significant. And the halacha gives me the ability to do that even on something that normally I shouldn't be able to do it on. And that's why in this case, says the Rosh, everybody, the halacha will be that even eating offer, by me eating it after I made a shvua shows that I consider it significant and will be considered as if I fulfilled the shvua that I had made.